Senate Resources will please come to order. Let the record show that Senator Mulcahy, Senator Big Fisher, Senator Sturdzielewski, Senator Dick Eliason, Vice Chairman Ziegler, and myself are present. For the information of those of you who are on the committee as well as testifying, if you would please just, when you testify, push the little button. On the brown mics forward, then those people who are listening to today's committee meeting will be able to hear what's going on. We are not taking testimony in a teleconference, true teleconference sense of the word, but we had requests to be able to listen into the meeting, and therefore we're trying to abide by that. And we welcome those who are listening, and other than that, we will just go on with regular meeting. The first two bills before the committee today are bills that were heard Monday in my absence, and I'd like to ask, please, if Vice Chairman Ziegler would please chair for those two bills, and I'll return immediately afterwards. Don't forget your buttons, and if you'd like to use this one, Senator, it's up. You won't have to hold it down.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Sturdzielewski and Senator Mulcahy, have you resolved the problems that you had, Senator Sturdzielewski?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct, and I have made available to the committee a copy of a legal opinion, and I think that's important to have it written and in the file in case there's any question. But my concern was that communities would suffer, and that is not the case. So I'm prepared to act on the bill.
And what's your pleasure with reference to the bill?
I would move Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 379, Resources. Individual recommendations. I'm a new pad.
If there is no objection, we'll circulate the bill and get rid of it. With reference to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 391, Senator Mulcahy, would you report what do you propose to the committee should be done?
Mr. Chairman, I think that the best way to resolve the problem is to delete Section 1 out of the committee, substitute, renumber the remainder of the section.
Okay, can you tell us with whom you spoke and why you arrived at the conclusion?
Well, it's my understanding that the work was done by the Senate, but I understand that this is acceptable to Senator Sturdzielewski and Senator Fisher that raised a concern in this area. I also understand it's acceptable to residents.
Okay, is there any objection to the deletion of Section 1 on page 1 of the proposed committee substitute?
It just takes this appearance to...
If there is none, what's the pleasure of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I move a new committee substitute for Senate Bill 391 with the amendment deletion of Section 1 of individual recommendations.
Any objection, committee members?
If
none, it shall be done. And now, on the agenda, we have two bills today, both of which are, in my opinion, vitally important to the state of Alaska.
And I have some information.
Respectively, committee substitute for House Bill Number 589, an act relating to Alaska Power Authority, and the Senate committee substitute, the committee substitute for House Bill Number 684, an act pertaining to special appropriations to the Alaska Power Authority. Let all those who are listening note that the chairman is now back. She has reassumed her position. She feels a kind of gavel, but she's now in total charge.
Thank you very much, Senator Ziegler. We'll start, please, with Senate Bill 589. I think we have quite a few people who would like to address this. On this, where is that sign-up sheet? I can't see it. Starting, please, with Larry Crawford, Alaska Power Authority.
Madam Chair, would you like to have a motion and committee substitute to lay that on the table?
No, not yet. Okay.
to bid upon them. Go right ahead. Raise your button, push forward.
Madam Chairman, members of the Resource Committee. As far as House Committee Substitute for House Bill 589 is concerned, there may be a few items in here that we have given a perfect situation. We may want to propose changing. But I think at this point, given the lateness of the hour, the Power Authority would recommend moving forward with this bill and then doing whatever cleanup is necessary after the passage of the bill.
Okay. Most members of the committee, you have the House passed version. You notice that Section 1, would you like to just kind of, you have a rundown on that, or would you like to go through it at all? Or would members of the committee like to ask questions of Mr. Crawford?
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Sturdzielewski.
One day you're gone, how?
Please push your buttons forward, and others can hear.
Madam Chair, one day you're gone, how quickly we forget. I addressed you as Mr. Chairman. I apologize for that.
No problem.
Don't leave. If it's appropriate, I'd like to address a couple of questions to Mr. Crawford.
Go right ahead.
Okay, first of all, the amount that, apart for a moment, whether or not we should be authorizing construction at this time, are you suggesting that we should use a construction cost of $1.5 billion? Shouldn't we be talking in terms of real dollars? And I think that figure would be much higher, would it not, about $3.75 billion? We have something in the statute that when it talks about authorizing projects does talk about, you know, a specific term. So I'd like some comment on that.
Okay. On Section 7, where it's rather like it's laid out,
right,
that probably should be $300 million in 1980. In Section 8, where the Latana phase of the Sicilian project is mentioned, it should be $3.75 billion.
Madam Chair, through Chair, again in 1983 dollars.
In 1983 dollars.
Madam Chair, I'm a little unsure as to whether we should take testimony. There's a lot of questions that come now, and I don't know whether it'd be better to hear people. I'd hate to see us bogged down here, so it's up to your rule.
That'd be fine. I think we should. Larry, you'd be around, right? Mr. Crawford, on this authorization, there have been a number of times that we've been asked the question, as we authorize Bradley and as we authorize Susitna, does that mean then that they will just be built, or do they have to come back again to the legislature for real authorization? What does this really mean?
Well, there's been a number of discussions about that point, and from my understanding, and the Attorney General is sitting in, Attorney General is sitting in the audience here, but my understanding is the legislature has the legal authority to move forward in this manner. I mean, there's nothing in the law that says that this legislature cannot do this. Now, in terms of authorizing these projects the way Section 7 and 8 do, there are a number of other steps that would that would take place. For example, the Power Authority does not, at this point, we have the policy of the Power Authority now is we would not move forward on either one of these projects. Let's take Bradley Lake as an example. We would not move forward with Bradley Lake until we had power sales agreements and an approved plan of finance from the Power Authority Board. As soon as that happened, we would move into the design phase of the project. In terms of Bradley Lake, we do have approximately $18 million available for that project, so we could do the design without any additional appropriation on the Bradley Lake project. So we would move into design. Now, if the Bradley Lake project is not authorized this year, we lose approximately a year, because we would not be able to do any work between legislative sessions. The project would not have been authorized. So the approach on Bradley, for example, would be through authorization by the legislature, and then we would go before the Power Authority Board with power sales agreements and a plan of finance for the project, which the board would then, after they approved, we would move forward with the design. In terms of the Susitna project, again, this authorization comes a little ahead of some of the other steps that are spelled out in other legislation. But what I've been told by the AG's office is that the legislature has the authority to do this. Now, should this pass the way it's laid out, the power authority would.
Madam Chair, could we pursue this point at this stage?
If you look in your packet, too, you'll see a letter of intent, I think. Make sure you note that.
Madam Chair, may we pursue this last point?
Go right ahead.
Larry, obviously the legislature has the authority to do what is proposed here. The question is that what the legislature should do? I mean, we could obviously override something that we had previously passed. But to what extent, which steps would we be avoiding nullifying in effect if we pass this, steps that would ordinarily be followed by HCA?
Okay, what is, I guess, a more accurate way of saying this, that the legislature has the authority to take such action as is outlined in 589. It is circumventing existing legislation.
Right. Okay.
Now, in terms of the steps that would need to be done on the Susitna project, we would need to submit a feasibility plan of finance to OMB for review. We need to get OMB's recommendation for approval or disapproval to the legislature.
Mr. Corker, remind her, I can ask you to speak up loudly enough to those people at the back of the room can hear you.
Madam Chair, just on that point, is it your intention not to prepare the plan of finance, a feasibility study, and submit them to OMB and obtain their approval before proceeding?
Okay, no, it is our intent to do that. Now, as far as OMB is concerned, I don't think OMB has to approve. I think OMB only has to submit a recommendation
in writing
for either approval or disapproval. Now, in terms of what the legislature or the governor may do, they may choose not to follow OMB's recommendation, but there's nothing in the law that says OMB has to approve.
I understand that. Would OMB, for example, be bypassed in the process that you would propose to follow if this legislation were enacted?
No, OMB would not be. We would go back and submit the feasibility study, plan of finance, and all of the requisite material to OMB in accordance with the existing statutory framework and in accordance with a project approval process that has recently been adopted by the board.
Thank you.
Are there further questions from members of the committee? You'll be around, Mr. Crawford, if further questions come up.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Moving then to Pete McDowell, OMB.
Thank you very much.
The button forward for me. Good. Thank you.
Thank you. I would add very little to Larry's comments, just to report that we have discussed this Hospital 589 with the governor, and he believes that it is a good, at this stage of the process, the legislative resolution of the problems that you've been working on, and we've been working on with regard to the Fort Inn pool, and that you would like to recommend that this group and the Senate as a whole move ahead on this particular bill.
Mr. McDowell, I understand that, you know, this type of approval is previous to building. It's not anything unusual that's been done with federal government for Snowsham and Bradley and those kinds of dams. But I just wanted to get from OMB if they are in agreement with the former one who testified there, Crawford, in that this authorization does not mean that that any construction on Watauga is that would go forward without it coming back to the legislature for approval and without it following the regular steps. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, Madam Chairman. We're in agreement with that, both in terms of the review work being done by the Office of Management and Budget on both projects, as well as the steps for the Board of the Power Authority and the steps for further legislative involvement. There's quite a complex process remaining to go, but this does get us started.
Thank you very much. Are there questions or comments from members of the committee?
Madam Chair.
Senator Sturdzielewski.
Through the chair, you know, it's well and good, I guess, for us.
Excuse me, Senator, would you push your button forward?
It is.
Okay, thank you.
Perhaps it's well and good to overlook earlier statutes. I have a little concern over that. I'd like a response, Mr. McDowell, regarding the feasibility study and plan of finance. I think it's pretty clear in the statutes that those were to have written comment by OMB prior to legislative action. And I'd like to know what you have, where you are, how soon you would be prepared to meet those statutes. I find it somewhat interesting. I want to see Bradley Lake go ahead, and I understand the concern over losing a year. I also wonder about all the hours and time we've tried to spend to build a power program for Alaska, and then we find we change the rules each time because of immediacy. So where are you on those two? How soon are you going to be prepared to report or to give us any indication of how that particular project looks?
On Bradley Lake, Madam Chairman, we have received the material, officially acknowledged receipt of the material today. The maximum time available to us is 60 days, but we, within the capability of our staff, who are also, in fact, have already commenced the review of the drafts of said material, although not with official receipt, as rapidly as possible in the next few weeks. I can't give you an exact deadline, but we are turning to, as of this afternoon, on the Bradley material, and we will process it through our analytical procedure as rapidly as possible.
Through the chair, have you done any work at all prior to that on the project? Bradley is very unique in that it's had a very long history and a whole lot of work done by the federal government, and we have some statutes that make certain requirements, but there are special considerations with Bradley. A lot of information has been available. Have you done anything on it, or are you just starting now with kind of a blank sheet of paper?
No, there has been work done in the past. The staff involved in the Division of Strategic Planning have, I can't personally verify exactly what materials they've read. They have reviewed, extensively reviewed materials, and been tracking that project. And it's not a fresh start, Madam Chairman. It's a running start, shall we say.
Are there further questions or comments? Senator Fisher.
Madam Chair, Pete, we have been given certain assurances here that existing statutory steps will be followed even though we jump ahead with approval under this legislation. Would you have any problem with bill stipulating that those steps will be followed and a report in effect be given ex post facto to the legislature on those steps that have been followed?
Madam Chairman, I'm no expert on legislative techniques, that would reflect intent, and I would certainly think it would be an excellent idea to document in a statement of intent to what we, in fact, I believe, are all agreeing on. I think that you're probably speaking in the sense of this committee, and I think that Larry and I are certainly speaking in the sense of this administration, that we would we would be glad if we can do this in an intent format to do so right now. I'm not sure that, I can't tell you what to do about a bill, but I think that as a statement of intent, that certainly reflects what we believe.
Thank you.
Are there further statements or questions from members of the committee? Thank you very much, Mr. McDowell.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Dave Hutchison. Oh, excuse me, Dave Hutchins. I have another man in mind. It's been brought to my attention that those people in Ketchikan who are observing, if after we've taken testimony you have some quick comments you'd like to make, we will accept that. Go ahead, Dave.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Executive Director of the Alaska Rural Electric Cooperative Association, speaking for the nonprofit cooperatively owned utilities in the state, many of them affected by legislation in several different directions, and it has been our position all along, as I previously testified before this committee, that we would support legislation to the effect of House Bill 589 as a part of a package of legislation issued, including a financing plan for some major projects pending. Specifically Bradley Lake and at least the Watonna portion of the Mississippi project. And assuming that there will in fact be a package of some sort, which this will be one component, we would support it. I also understand that it may well be that there's a push not to amend this bill for strategy reasons, perhaps. But if the decision is made to open the bill to consider amendments, I would submit this to the committee for your consideration. Amendments that I've submitted to you for your consideration, and to say if in fact you do open the bill up for amendment. The first set of amendments there would be what is necessary to, in our view, to properly authorize Bradley and Watonna, this project within the energy program for Alaska. It would authorize them at a specific dollar amount and identify what those dollars are. And we would recommend that if you're all going to take amendments. The second set of amendments is something that would be necessary to keep the interest earnings with the Power Development Fund if there is a decision to do that, a desire to do that. Certainly, we think that that's a highly desirable thing to do. We hope that that would be considered either in the context of 589 or perhaps some other legislation that may be included before the session.
That
I really have no other comments on 589.
Madam Chair.
Senator Sturgeon.
Just briefly, I wonder if we've had a number of memos regarding the interest on funds, and I wonder if that's one we'd need to check out as to constitution ability for us to dedicate the interest, or whether that has to be a yearly appropriation.
We have someone here from the AG's office, if you'd like to address that. I think that if you'd like to address that question to him, Martha. We'll ask.
Madam Chair, we could ask that at a later time.
Yes. All right.
I would mention to the committee that the language in here that I've proposed in what would be AS 4283-382B is taken precisely from a draft from the Department of Law for a similar purpose in a different fund.
Thank you very much, Dave. Are there further questions or comments from members of the committee? Martha, did you have anything you wanted to add, or are you just here for questions, or?
I'm here primarily for questions.
Very well. Martha Fox from AG's office is available if there are questions from members of the committee. Are there any?
Madam Chair, I would like a response, either that or a written memo. It's fine. You're not going to move the bill today, but regarding the proposal to maintain the interest in that fund. So it's.
I can give you an oral response right now.
Madam Chair.
Come right on up, Martha, please. Make sure that the button on the brown one is pushed forward, and then you won't have to have it be pressing down the button all the time.
Yeah, it's on now.
Okay. For the record, my name is Martha Fox, and this is the Attorney General. As far as the interest returning to the Power Development Fund question goes, the Attorney General's opinion of November 1982 basically concluded that return of interest to a fund like that raises questions on the dedicated funds issue, but at this point we're prepared to defend that type of a return. And on that basis, I told Mr. Hutchins that it was something that that could be done, and that the Attorney General's office had taken a position and prepared to defend it. And it is also the approach that has been suggested for a statutory major projects committee.
Thank you.
Are there further questions or comments? Thank you very much, Marvin. Is there anyone else here that wished to testify on this House bill? Representative Wente.
Briefly, Madam Chairman, I'm Ron Wente, representing House District 1. I would express to this committee some points that I have expressed to my colleagues at the other end of the hall, that I don't think this bill appropriately addresses, but nonetheless I would encourage its passage, and I appreciate the discussions in this committee in terms of the assurances that the process is not going to be circumvented, and the assurances from the administration that that is not indeed going to happen. At the same time, I specifically, in regard to the language dealing with Bradley Lake and Susitna, I would convey to the members of this committee who sat on the task force between the House, the administration, and the Senate, that the language authorizing those projects that was offered in first consideration of this bill, House floor, did conform with the language that the task force did consider and did agree to earlier in the week in the aspects of including those projects within the energy program in the state. And it was on reconsideration that the specific language authorizing construction was inserted. I have expressed as strongly as I could to my colleagues in the House that I hope no member of the legislature is in a place that I or Senator Ziegler or Senator Mulcahy have been in, to the extent the projects did proceed, to the extent that they have, under the type of authorization and legislative consideration in the past that they've received, that indeed those projects did proceed without power sales agreements up front. I would commend the administration to the extent the policies that it and the Alaska Power Authority have since set in committing not to proceed with construction of projects without the initial negotiations on power sales agreements. I think for those of us in the legislature, that is essential and crucial in terms of making sound decisions that are going to affect this state for hundreds of years in the future. But even more importantly, I think it's important for the people of Alaska and the people to be served by these projects to understand up front what the cost of their power is going to be, what the impact of the decisions being considered by the legislature are going to have it on their future. That has not been the case with the development of the Fort Ann Pool. I think we all recognize there are substantial differences in the financial and political situation in the state now compared to 2 years ago when House Bill 9 was considered, or even when Senate Bill 25 and 26 were put into effect. So if we cannot project 2 and 4 years into the future, we certainly can't do that for a 50-year period. And I would urge caution, caution not in terms of holding up development, but making sure that what development we proceed with in this state is done with full knowledge of what the impact is going to be, and what the benefits, as well as what the costs are going to be to the people of the state. The language added on to House Bill 589 dealing with authorization of construction prior to that information being available is not the ideal situation. It's not what I hope this legislature would do. Nonetheless, I don't want to see this bill again. And I would, I think we all recognize with the assurances given by the administration here today and the method under which the Power Authority is operating right now, that maybe the best situation is that we accept this and deal with those assurances, and I think legislatively assure that they do proceed with that process.
Thank you, Representative Winter. Is there anyone who has questions or comments? Representative Winter, one question to you. Have you seen the letter of intent or the letter we've received from Commissioner Lyon? I was trying to work out to go with, I know that there are, for some of us, some problems with 589 in its present form. And yet, recognizing the realities of life, I think it's our best approach, probably, to leave the bill as is and pass it with a letter of intent that conforms with the message that we have gotten here in testimony from the Power Authority, from OMB, from Commerce, and those people who are involved. In reading that, if we were to take, in your estimation, the majority of what's said there and include it as a Senate letter of intent with this legislation, do you feel that that would cover your concerns about the power contracts, et cetera?
Given the situation, Madam Chairman, I would be satisfied with that approach. And given the makeup of the House of Representatives, I wouldn't even hazard to guess what they would do.
Thank you very much, Representative Winter. Winter, we are, I think, trying to avoid
it can go unsaid,
possibility again. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else here who wishes to testify? Come right ahead, please. Identify yourself.
My name is Jay Nelson. Yeah. I'm Executive Director of the Alaska Environmental Lobby. This is a little bit tilting of windmills, but I feel obligated to say something. Representative Wendy stated he didn't want to see this legislation again, and I suppose I'd say that some aspects of it I'd rather not see at all. Specifically, I'm not, and I would say the environmental community is not assured that the same mistakes that have not been made on the Four Dam Pool projects will not be made again. And I'm encouraged with the discussion that the committee has carried on so far that the problem seems to be understood, that we're getting the cart before the horse and authorizing projects which are not shown to be financially feasible. But I would prefer to see the process turned around in the correct direction. And I say this both for Bradley Lake, which the environmental community has supported for over 2 years, and for Susitna Dam, which the environmental community has not ever supported.
Excuse me, I can remember hearing that suggested by the environmental community a number of years ago. You may not have supported
it. We supported Susitna Dam that was less than a third the size of the present proposed dam.
All right, thank you for straightening me out too, huh?
It wasn't quite the scale project we're discussing today. And and finally, I think it's erroneous to pass a bill stating the authorizing construction of a project at $1.5 billion that no one has ever said would cost less than total project, presently $5.4 billion in Wantana Dam, $3.75 in $83, which I think are mostly spent right now, and nominal dollars of $9 billion, so that people in other parts of the state may be thinking $1.5 billion, but that's nowhere near the correct figure. And with that, I'll finish.
Thank you. Thank you, Jay. Are there questions?
No.
Sergeant McCown?
One comment. Put me down as a windmill.
Oh, you're a windmill? Okay, Senator Zeke. Senator Baum?
Madam Chair, just to make the record clear, I think that, Jay, anybody that's involved or interested in the process and in the projects, one way or the other, pro or con, are going to realize that the 1.5 isn't the correct figure. I don't think any of us are going to, and I even not going to sit here and feel that we're hoodwinking anybody with that figure.
Not sure. I would not say that it was the intent of this committee to hoodwink the public. However, I have heard members of the House use the $1.5 billion as a figure for state dollars sufficient to build a dam. That is not sufficient to build a dam.
Thank you, Jay. I don't think House testimony has too much to do with what we are saying here, and that is that we are not by any means stating that 1.5 will build Wantana or Susitna. We are saying that if we were to go, for instance, with what we consider the full amount, and there would be no need for people to come back and for us to have the check and balance we need to make sure that contracts are in place, that the feasibility is done, everything's done that needs to be done before the money's authorized. So that it within itself is a bit of a contention. Are there further questions from this witness? Anyone? Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who wished to testify on this bill? Then it's my intention to draw up and bring back just momentarily on Friday this bill as is with a letter of intent for moving on to the Finance Committee, and we can have any discussion. Any of you who have problems with that, please come talk with me on it as we go. Moving on now to Senate Bill. House Bill 684. I think most of us are familiar with House Bill 684. I'd like to ask Mr. Crawford if he would come back again and give us a little briefing on the $49 million, what it's about, those types of things, please. Would you like to have either Peter or anyone else up with you, if you would, any of the administration's people? Mr. Crawford, just bring them right on up.
Just briefly, the $49 million is the amount of money that was arrived at through a number of months of intensive negotiations with these various communities. It's a derivative, I guess, of a lot of different analysis that we've performed. But the bottom line is that this is the amount of money that the communities have determined is necessary for them to go back to their communities and sell to their constituents, to their consumers, the hydroelectric projects. So with the $49 million, it's my understanding now that the communities are satisfied with that, and they're satisfied with the rates that it would develop. So we have now a number of those communities that have gone to their governing bodies, recommended for approval of the power sales agreements, which are based on $49 million. So it's really the amount of money necessary to satisfy the communities, and it's the amount of money necessary to follow through on the amount that we have agreed with the communities in negotiating power sales agreements.
Thank you very much. Are there questions, Senator Sturtzel?
Madam Chair, through the Chair. Mr. Crawford, am I correct that you have approximately $15 million in the Bradley account? And if that's correct, is that adequate if you have authorization for construction to do the design on that facility? And then additionally, we have the letter of intent of the chairman of the Power Authority stating that the legislature's control would be through coming back for additional appropriation. Well, we're giving you a couple hundred million here for Wautauna. I'm just trying to perhaps two different areas, then Bradley, the amount of dollars available, the amount of money that would go into the power development fund for Wautauna, if you could make some comments.
Okay. In terms of the Bradley Lake project, my understanding from my staff is that the money that's currently appropriated is adequate to do the design. With the project properly authorized, with power sales agreements, and with a approved plan of finance from the board, we could move into design, and we could keep the project on schedule. And then we would have to come back to the legislature next session to ask for money for construction of the project. And at that time, again, it would be before the legislature, subject to legislative review and action. So that is, I think, in terms of the Bradley Lake project, pretty good safeguards on that project. In terms of the Susitna project, many of the safeguards that would be initiated there are safeguards that the board itself would have in place as far as the $200 million. We would also ultimately have to come back to the legislature because that amount is not near enough to construct the project. But within that $200 million amount, we would follow the policies that were adopted by the board.
Madam Chair?
Just a minute, Senator. I think for the benefit of those who are listening, that I should bring to people's attention that we are looking at a possible committee substitute that has, rather than the $1.4 million that came over from the House and that sentence, a $200 million inserted. We're getting copies of the original bill, and I think we need to take a good look at the constitutionality of the 1.4, how it's done, and as compared to the 200. It's not my intention today to make that decision, but to bring it vividly to your attention and see what we can find out about its legality. Thank you, and go ahead, Senator Sturtzelski.
Just a very brief response, Mr. Crawford, if possible. What are the figures on Bradley overall? Am I correct that $300 million, that's approximately $125 to $150 million state investment, and then going to bond for the rest?
Okay, I think that when we get all through with Bradley Lake, it'll be more like $150 to $200 million, somewhere in that vicinity for state contribution, equity contribution.
Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair,
Senator
Lyson. Yes, Larry. What's the total amount of money the state has invested in Susitna at the present time?
We have, at the present time, I think something less than $92 million. By the end of this fiscal year, we will be approaching $90 million.
I guess this might also be pertinent. Now, the $200 million is going to go into that project also. Now, at some time, in the future, you're going to evaluate the feasibility of the total project. Now, is a part of that feasibility study also related to the amount of money you have invested already?
The total cost of the project is including the money that we have currently.
In other words, you're going to reach the point, could we conceivably reach the point where we have invested a little here, a little there, to reach the point that this project wasn't feasible to start with. However, it's feasible now because we have so much money invested at this point.
Well, I think there is a danger in spending a lot of money on a project prior to determining whether or not we're going to go forward with it all the way. And what you're suggesting, I think, is a danger that we keep now and not spend any money on the design work until we've determined its financial feasibility and that we've made the decision to go forward with it. And that's the policy that the board is following now. We will not spend any money on design other than that necessary for PERC licensing until we have power sales agreements and an approved plan of finance.
Senator Fisher.
That chair, several questions here. The letter of intent from Commissioner Lyon dated April 11th, addressed to it, sent to Fehrenkamp, pertains to House Bill 589. I assume the same letter or same type of a letter could be applied and should be applied to House Bill 684.
I think that would probably be more accurate is to apply them to both bills because it would have to be in the context of both bills.
Sure. Madam Chair, I would suggest that whatever approach we take on letters of intent, that we make sure both bills are fully covered.
That will be done.
Madam Chair, just to continue on something else. 684 would appropriate $200 million. Assuming we have a letter of intent, you would actually not spend this $200 million because you first have to do your design, preliminary design for the FERC license, and you do your detailed design, final design. How far will you proceed before you, in effect, have an approved plan of finance and financing arrange? For instance, the $200 million appropriated by the legislature will, of course, not get you going very far. Would you proceed to bonding? Would you proceed to final design, to other steps, before the legislature has given the actual commitment or appropriation for the full state equity?
Okay, there are two things that will have to happen in order for us to proceed with bonding or with any substantial. It should happen before we proceed with any substantial design work or construction. We will need either an appropriated amount that will be committed to the project so that we could then go to the bond market and we could give the bondholders assurances that money was there. The second alternative is to provide some kind of dedication of money through either statutory or constitutional means. So either of those two events should take place before we begin to spend substantial amount of money on Mississippi.
Madam Chair, I would suggest that whatever intent we set sort of clearly outline how far the sort of which part of any of the $200 million will be spent before this comes back to the legislature.
Okay. Generally, I would say that we'd ask for $32 million for continuation of the FERC licensing process. That was all the money that we had intended to spend in fiscal 85 for SACIT. So with the $32 million, should it be reinstated in the appropriations, we would not spend any of the $200 million during FY85.
I think, again, that I'll remind people on this $200 million that we're talking about, that Section 2 of the proposed committee substitute, and that still remained to be seen. It was only done because of the 1.4 appropriation as it came over from the House being said to be unconstitutional. Now, there is and has been some work done in that line, and I think we'll all be interested in the testimony on that that we have from Dave, and we'll see what happens with that. I think, but I do want you all to be very aware of it, to know that the House sent over a very different thing in that Section 2, and that I am not recommending at this time our Section 2. This is a fallback in case the other is considered to be unconstitutional on the spending limit law.
In terms, I just make one last comment. In terms of the SITN project or any other project of any, even a lesser magnitude, the only way that these projects are ever going to be constructed is by putting aside substantial amounts of money now and then making the decision later as to which projects need to go forward. I'm not suggesting putting lots of money into SITN now as opposed to money on some kind of related projects, but without that, it's going to be difficult to move forward with the project the size of this is at.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Crawford didn't take position that the wording in Section 2 of the financing of the Toronto Dam would not include use of the money for proceeding with surplus.
If the $32 million amount is reinstated, we would not need this money nor use this money in FY85 for the specific project.
But if it were not reinstated into the budget somewhere along the line, the position that you could use this money for the purposes?
We'd have to look at this closely in terms of whether the wording would allow that. I think it's general enough to allow us to I believe it's general enough to do that, but the again, the you know, the approach that we followed earlier was trying to get $32 million for the FERC licensing, and this would be money that would be set aside and not used.
I think it's public knowledge that many people are very fearful of doing away with the so-called Susita clause without having some kinds of assurances, and that's where the 1.4 or the 200, whichever way it comes in, comes from. So in looking at that, and again emphasizing the point that if we do not have plans ahead for a fund, whether it's a major projects fund, a Susitna fund, or energy fund, that has funds set aside for these major projects, we might as well forget them, right?
I would say that we won't build major projects without setting money aside beginning now.
Thank you. Are there questions or comments from members of the committee?
Madam Chair.
Senator Zelensky.
One question, this may have related to the previous bill, but it's interrelated here. Unless I'm missing something, this does not increase the 4-dam pool to a 6-dam pool. And I'm curious, in the earlier bill, it allows you to limit the amount of debt service for a period of time, and I understand in the 4-dam pool that there's been a moratorium, is it of 10 years or something, in increases in rates. What I'm wondering, does that limit, are we putting ourselves in a situation where we're not going to, continue to bring projects in into a pool? Are we really going to end up with projects coming in on their own merits? What's your feeling of what's happening now? And I guess the policy question that I had as to whether or not we should be carte blanche granting you authority or granting you authority for a limited time for those particular projects that are need to have that authority right now.
I think there is a difference between the 4-dam pool and the other project that may come in terms of conceptual. But I think also that I think it's good public policy to ensure the consumer that their rates will not go up any more than X amount in a given year as a result of new projects coming in the system. Because I don't think that they should bear the cost beyond a certain amount of new projects coming into the system. In terms of the other projects coming in too, we see the Fort Amp pool, of course, is now being treated as one project. Any other project being added to the system would have to come in on its own merits. It would have to be judged whether or not it was properly funded. For example, if it wasn't properly funded, we could not bring it in and expect the Fort Amp pool projects to pay more than the amount we've agreed that they would pay. In other words, it would not go above a certain limit in terms of financing, let's say the Bradley Lake project. They would not pay any more than the amount that was agreed on in the power sales agreement. But I think that it's poor public policy to market power to these communities and then not have them be able to have some kind of predictability in what happens to the grid. So that was the reason we had negotiated a ceiling on the system increment.
Are there further questions or comments? Thank you very much, Larry. Dave, would you like to bring us up to date on the 1.4 and what we found out?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My comments will be on the House passed bill. As I see it, it's a bill that has three particular problems in it, but the approach taken, four amendments put on the bill, have a great deal of merit. And let me just in preface say here that our objective for our association is to have some kind of workable mechanism to save some money now to pay for the state's share of the equity and rate stabilization funding for future projects. And we understand that the governor.
I'll put your microphone on.
We understand that the governor is continuing to push for the constitutional amendment to set up a major projects fund. And we have supported that all along as a part of the package. We'll continue to do so. However, we think that it's prudent to look at some alternative ways to do this as well. And that's essentially what the House passed bill does, is the concept of having multi-year appropriations do set up a fund by the appropriation process statutorily rather than by constitutional amendment. Almost immediately after the bill passed the House, the cry went up that, well, it's unconstitutional, so there's no point in even considering it. And I went to the Attorney General's office to make some inquiries about their reasoning on this being unconstitutional. Last week, Mr. Gorsuch gave me a copy of the Attorney General's opinion that had been written for him by Mr. Baldwin. Because I'm a secondary source on this, but my understanding of what the opinion said was that the basic reason that the House passed language was unconstitutional was that it did not set a limit per year. It set a floor per year of $200 million, but the whole $1.4 billion theoretically could be made available in the first year. And for that reason, the whole $1.4 billion had to be considered in terms of calculating what could be spent within the spending limitation constitutional amendment adopted a few years ago. So in discussion with Mr. Baldwin, it became apparent that as far as he was concerned, that the issue could be avoided, the constitutional question could basically be avoided by putting a cap in there each year as to how much would be available in any given year. And I've prepared a draft of one way of doing this.
distribute this to the committee at this time. Also, the section one here of the amendments that I've submitted to you on House Bill 684 deals with two separate problems simultaneously. One is that the House passed bill appropriates $1.4 billion over a period of years to Latana and Bradley together without distinguishing how much for each project. And from our view, those should be separated so that you know how much money is going to each project. And so what I've presented here, the new section two would deal only with Latana, and it would set a minimum of $200 million per year and a maximum of $500 million per year. If that $500 million per year is bumping the spending limitation, it could be reduced to $400 if that's what it takes to stay within that spending limitation. But the idea is there to have the cap. And then I've set up a section three, which would appropriate $200 million for Bradley Lake at the rate of $50 million a year for 4 years. That's in conformity with the latest financing plan on Bradley Lake. The second set of amendments are what I regard as necessary to clear up the effective date problems on Wakanda appropriation. In the House passed bill, there's a very confusing language in there on the effective date for this appropriation of $1.4 billion. As we read it, we interpreted it to mean that this money is out there in limbo somewhere, and the appropriation isn't made until the power sales contracts are signed. I think that a more appropriate way would be to make the appropriation itself effective immediately, but to provide that the money couldn't be spent until you're ready to proceed with the construction project, including having the power sales contracts in place.
It's my understanding, Dave, that that was the intent of the House passed bill, and we'll, of course, have to check with him on that. Are there questions or comments at this juncture? Senator Fisher?
Madam Chair, maybe I should just stay out of it and listen to the tape. I'm sorry, Dave, I missed the beginning. Did you check the issue of the spending limit?
Yes, sir, I did. I had discussions with Mr. Gorsuch and Mr. Baldwin in the attorney's office.
And they feel this gets us under the spending limit?
That this approach is workable. The question remaining then is the amount, the appropriate amount to stay within the spending limit. And I don't have the information readily available at this point to know what the appropriate amount would be for this approach.
Madam Chair, do we have a written opinion from the AG on this? Because Billy Barriers seems to indicate something else.
We have phone only. I think we need to get a written agreement, a written interpretation, and have language checked out before we proceed. We'll try to have that done before Friday's meeting. And you'll see it again, yes.
Madam Chair, if there is a barrier opinion, can that be made available too at the same time?
Yes, of course.
Madam Chair, the barrier opinion that I shared with the chair was done very quickly, and I would suggest that Billy be asked for a formal opinion to the committee.
That's my intention. I think that something of that nature takes a little bit closer scrutiny than what has been given. Dave, we appreciate your effort on this. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yes, Madam Chairman, there's one more comment I would like to make in regard to a question to an earlier witness on the other language. language in the proposed committee substitute about could the money be spent for FERC licensing. In the language that I've submitted to the committee, it's precise, pins it down enough that it could not be. It's just intended as a savings account. And it would be available only for equity investment in the project or for the rate stabilization funding.
Senator?
Madam Chair, I just want to state for the record.
Would you use your button, please? Or?
I just want to state for the record so there's no misunderstanding on anybody's part as we move along that I can't accept and won't accept this type of amendment and this approach to funding. I don't go along with it. There are other approaches that I could go along with, but we just are getting through forward appropriation to the permanent fund that's been hanging over our head for the last several years. And every time we turn around, something vetoed and thrown in there. I just soon see it all go in there from the beginning of the year and be done with it. And I'm not going to be back in the same position again. And I just wanted to make that clear going in. A percentage that goes in automatically, that the governor has no up or down, or the administration no maybes about, I could live with that because I support Bradley and I support the city, but I don't support this amendment.
Senator, I think there is an attempt to go along with the House, and that's where our decisions will come in. Yes, Senator Lassen.
I have just one question, Dave.
I just want to make it clear.
If we do exceed the spending limitations, then what is necessary?
Well, my understanding is that at that point there'd be a vote required on the surplus funds.
That would go to a referendum for the people to decide whether to spend the money or not?
That's what I understand.
Senator, and I understand that you will be provided with this written information and in judgment next week, so we'll have it.
Yes, sir. If at all possible.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dave. Is there anyone else who would like to address us on this bill? Come on here. Identify yourself again, please.
My name is Martha Fox. I'm an assistant attorney general. I would just like to say Jim Baldwin was not able to be here this meeting because of another commitment. We have had a few discussions about this continuing appropriations approach. And I would just like to state that while we have talked about it as being a possible approach to get around the limitation question, we do feel that there continue to be some significant legal questions involved with this approach, and we would like to take a close look at it before we make any kind of comment on how whether it would work out or not.
Do you think, Martha, that could be ready for us for a Friday meeting or in advance if possible?
Yes, we will do so.
Thank you. We really appreciate that. Are there questions from members of the committee? Is there anyone else who would like to address us on this bill? Pete?
Chairman.
Pete McDowell from OMB. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would like to just add a comment from our discussions this morning with the governor concerning the House passed version of this bill. And it is that it does represent, in the governor's view, an acceptable legislative resolution to the issues that have been brought forward over the last several weeks in the discussions on the Ford Act pool, et cetera. So that were it to survive in its present form, the governor has indicated that he would then still be able to deal with the issues.
Madam Chair, I didn't understand.
I didn't either.
Pass it like it is.
I don't think there's anybody who really didn't understand what was said, but if you don't, how about you? Are there questions?
I'd be glad to rephrase it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think I can.
Are there further questions or comments, members of the committee? Pete, thank you very much.
Yeah.
We will then... We will then look forward to having both opinions from legal, from the AG's office, and again, I think it's important that we continue with the task force to see what we do between now and Friday. Is there anyone else that would like to testify concerning this bill? Very well. In your announcements for today, we had brought up as well the constitutional amendment. I think due to the hour, and we will look at that again with our continuations on Friday. And if there's anyone who traveled here to testify concerning that bill, I'd be happy to hear you at this time so that you won't have to come back again Friday. I probably already got discussed and went home. Is there anything else to come before the committee today? Then committee is adjourned.